The tech industry works every day to develop solutions that facilitate the transition of society, companies, industries towards more sustainable product, services, and processes. But how do you actually measure the effect of digital solutions and its climate impact? This question is of big importance for the industry, not least when customers become increasingly aware and want data on how big the effect and net profit is of the digital solution. We took the opportunity to talk to Veronica Thieme, Director of Sustainable Business at Carbon Trust, about how to measure net climate impact. You will also get to hear the views from three of our member companies on the need for solid and common methodologies and how these are put to use. Everything is led by our fantastic chairman of TechSverige's Sustainability Council, Johanna Giorgi, Head of Sustainability at AdSecure, who is also involved in the project. We'll come back to this question in the future, but now stay tuned and please feel free to spread the word.
Well, hi Veronica, thanks for being here.
Hello.
You're Head of Deliverability Europe for Carbon Trust.
Yep.
Would you like to say a few things about Carbon Trust and your organization?
Sure, yeah. So the Carbon Trust is a mission-driven organization. So our mission is to accelerate the move to a decarbonized future. And we do that by working with companies, governments, public sector bodies, helping them on their journey towards a sustainable future. In particular, the work with businesses, we help businesses with their footprinting, with their target setting, but also helping them develop their reduction and transition plans, again, towards a net zero path.
Mm. And today we're here to speak a bit about the potential of tech solutions to help achieve that transformation. It could be a transformation within companies or in society in a larger scale. And that is something that is pushed by Tech Sweden and the member organizations, where we speak a lot about the need to realize and see the potential, include tech as one of the sort of building blocks and keys to transform society and to achieve lower emissions and a sort of positive climate impact. But saying this, we're also aware of the need to also be able to calculate this and to prove this. And this has been a question. Okay, so we're all saying that tech is a central building block, but how can we prove it? And so a concept that has been going up in this is the concept of net impact.
Yep.
And this is something that you've been working a lot with for Carbon Trust and particularly with tech companies. Would you mind explaining, like, what is net impact?
Yeah, sure. So as you've outlined, sort of the concept of net carbon impact, or the purpose, is to assess that the impact that digital solutions can have in reducing emissions, mostly within other sectors, but it could also be within the ICT sector, for example, itself. And the overall sort of, concept includes looking both at a sort of additional emissions that are caused by the solution itself. So that includes looking at the emissions from the hardware. It includes looking at emissions from the network that is used and required for these digital solutions to work. But it also then is looking at the oftentimes positive contribution that these solutions can have, whether it's sort of reducing the electricity consumption in buildings through solutions like advanced building management systems, or reducing fuel consumption with fleet management solutions, and assessing that together with the additional emissions.
Hmm. And who is asking for these estimations? Who's asking for these methodologies?
So I think, for now, or in the past, it has mainly been a way also for the sector to demonstrate sort of the positive impact that they can have enabling decarbonisation across other sectors. But I think more and more these types of assessments and calculations can also be used by the investment community to help them make decisions in terms of which solutions to prioritise and which ones to provide funding for. And of course, it can also help policymakers, again, with their decision making in terms of which areas to prioritise.
Mm. And it all comes back to everyone is asking for proof, more or less. So if you claim that you have a solution that is capable of lowering emissions, you are asked for proof for that. And I suppose that would be for the client buying that solution or for the investor putting money into that company saying that they had this type of solutions.
Exactly.
Right. And what do you see as the main challenges when you work with companies to establish this type of estimations or calculations? What are usually the main challenges for the companies?
So I think the main challenge is data still. So it's getting data in particular for sort of assessing the situation before the solution was implemented. So within these calculations, you always look at sort of the scenario with the solution and the scenario without the solution. And oftentimes, the idea comes to make these assessments only after the solution has been implemented. And then, of course, it's too late to then get the data from before. So that's one of the key challenges, is getting that data so that you have a good reference and baseline from which you can sort of assess the actual impact of the solution.
Mm-hmm. And you were mentioning there are other industries, not only tech, obviously, but that are looking at this type of calculations. What other industries are you working with primarily?
So I think it really touches actually on all sectors, I would say. I think some of the key sort of sectors where a lot of these solutions are relevant are in transport, as there is a lot of sort of fleet management solutions. Obviously, buildings is really crucial as well, as there's a lot to gain from optimization and monitoring in the building sector. But increasingly, we're also seeing that these types of solutions are really important for the manufacturing sector. So if you think about solutions like the sort of that will enable the factory of the future, you know, where you have sort of essentially robots and AI running a factory, helping to optimize current processes, I think that will be something that we will see more of as we go forward.
So it's becoming more connected to the investment case, and how this part of the investment case is not only about the cost reductions, it's about the CO2 reduction. Right. And then for a company being interested in this, thinking that we have a solution, we would like to make a statement and prove the usefulness of this solution, how to get started?
So I think to start, again, I would start with data, see what you have. Again, as I mentioned before, it's really important to get that baseline data. So really starting early in that process, engaging, I guess, with your customers as well, because a lot of the times it won't be, that data won't be accessible to you, but you'll have to work with your customers who are implementing those solutions to get that data. So engaging them, talking to them about doing these assessments, and then hopefully from there you can get going.
And when you're speaking about data, what type of data are we talking about? We are more or less all familiar with the scope 1, 2, 3 concept. Is that like that's the type of data we're looking for?
I suppose so. Yes. I think it really depends sort of on the different solutions, I think, that we're looking at, what type of data you will need. But yes, it will be essentially a lot of the data you'll need will be scope 1 and scope 2 data, but from your customers. So for example, if you're working with a logistics provider who's implementing a fleet management solution, you will need to get their data on their fleet fuel consumption or mileage driven. So that should be hopefully data that they are already collecting. But again, you also need that comparison from before before and after as well.
Right, so it's upstream what's happened with the production of the solution, but also what's happened once it's in play.
Yeah.
What's happening with the customer and their the impact that they've seen. So you need to collect the information there as well.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you want to read more about this, is there any information available? Is there like a set sort of basic framework for it, or how to work around this? Can you Google this and end up with one?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think maybe firstly also to mention that there's a number of different terminologies used in this space. So we talked about the net carbon impact, but sometimes this is referred to as avoided emissions. Sometimes it's referred to as enablement. So depending on what you Google, you might find different things, but all of those terms sort of are more or less used in similar ways. And there's a number of different sort of guidelines and standards that have come out recently that touch on how to sort of go about doing these types of assessments. So the ITU, for example, have brought out a standard, the ITU L1480. The WBCSD has also provided some guidance. And then we're also working with the European Green Digital Coalition, and they will also bring out some guidance and the methodology shortly on how to do these net carbon impact assessments.
We're going to speak to Telia and Atea, who together with AdSecure have been involved in the European Green Deal Coalition's work.
Yeah.
Or Digital Coalition's work. And so we're going to speak more to that. But thank you so much for coming here today. And
thank
I'm sure
you.
We'll be in contact soon.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Great. So now I'm here with Chiara Silvetti, Director of Sustainable Business from Atea.
Yep.
And Albena Pino, Sustainability Manager at Telia. And so what we have in common, me representing AdSecure, is that on one hand, we are members of the Sustainability Council of Tech Sweden. That's one thing. We're in within the tech industry and telco industry in Sweden. But we also, all three of us, been involved to a different extent, but to some extent, when it comes to using or trying to be involved in developing methodologies to calculate the net impact of different solutions, or our solutions, I would say. Yeah. So I was just thinking about if you could just please tell me, if you could start, Chiara, speaking a bit like, okay, so how is it that you became involved in this area, trying to find a way to estimate the impact of your solutions?
Brilliant. So just a quick background about Atea. We are the leading infrastructure provider of IT in the Nordic countries, which means that we actually help our customers to use their data, to find insights that power them forward, and we help them to handle this data in a smart, efficient IT infrastructure and help their employees to become productive. But all in all, this boils down to building a sustainable future, so to scaling those solutions that we know will have an impact. And we have an ambitious target, which is that we want to help our customers avoid 100 times more CO2 than our own entire footprint. And of course, to do that, we need to be able to calculate what the net impact of our solutions is. And on the other hand, we know that we've got very ambitious customers that want progress and data. And so that's how we became involved in this. We want to be able to visualize the individual contribution of different solutions. So we put in the hands of our customers brilliant solutions that help them scale their own sustainability goals.
And Albina, what about Dentilia? Can you tell a bit like how did you get involved in this? And you don't call it net impact. You were talking about enablement.
Yeah, we talk about enablement effect, and this is basically how digital solutions enable others to bring positive impacts, not only for the climate, if we think it from a broader perspective, it can also be in social areas, etc. So Telia, the largest telecom operator in Sweden, we are also present in other Nordic and Baltic markets, and we have a strong IoT portfolio. And in that IoT portfolio, we have smart building solutions as well as smart public transport solutions. And in those solutions, some of them are focusing on how our customers can optimize the use of energy resources, for example. So for us, it was really important to start measuring what's the impact of these solutions. We also provide, our core business is connectivity. One use that we all have is remote meetings that you're all very much familiar with. That's also helping customers reduce travel, reduce commute, and it has a positive environmental impact. Our peers are doing similar things, having similar solutions, and it was important, what we strongly favor was basically having a unified way to evaluate the impact of these solutions. And that's why we take part in these initiatives, and we've been trying to measure our own impact, although on a fairly small part of our portfolio since 2020.
Mm. Well, it's interesting. AdSecure also operating within the IoT space, it was really about being able to prove the message that we're trying to send through, that IoT is to a large extent key to make transition happening and to transform society. But what would you say, who's asking for this information? Is this something that we have brought forward, but are customers really asking for this? Are they asking for these numbers? Chiara, what would you say?
Yeah, just to put it in context, I think, you know, the we all have the privilege to work in one of the most progressive markets globally when it comes to sustainability. Within Atea, we work a lot with CIOs, we work a lot with the sort of the traditional IT infrastructure sector, and we bring together their voice every year. And last year, in this initiative, we have this called Atea Sustainability Focus, all Nordic buyers of IT and digitalization solutions, they said they want climate accountability. So I would say that there is this huge appetite out there for this kind of solutions. On the other hand, we know that, you know, the regulation that is coming at the European level, it's going to professionalize all of our work, even in the area of like scope 4. So how do we account for this solution's impact? So I think that it's both customer side and the regulatory side.
And what you're saying is it's probably going to grow as the regulations, the regulative side of things is growing as well. Yeah. Albina, what's your point of this?
I mean, definitely, I agree with everything Chiara is saying. And I think there's another aspect that customers, they are asking, they want to see the return on investment. And in this case, when they digitize, when they are implementing IoT solutions, they basically optimizing their operations. So what is, this brings cost efficiency, but in order to do the proper math on cost efficiency, you actually need to calculate how much of energy are you reducing, for example, how much of the consumption of fuel your fleet is actually reducing. So, I mean, they go together, getting the financial benefits from that as well as the environmental.
And it's interesting what you're touching upon here, that maybe the customers are not asking so much about the emission as the sort of source data, like, you know, the liters saved of fuel, or is it the avoided travels, and to have that sort of estimation. But that's what they are asking from a customer point of view, looking to optimizing their operations. We were talking about with Veronica Thieme here from Carbon Trust that these type of estimations and calculations are also of great interest to investors and from the investment community. What do you say about that? Have you had this on the table from them? Leaving the word open?
Yes, I think investors are increasingly asking, maybe not so broadly yet, not so intensely, I would say, yet, in the sense that we have an investor community that is paying more and more attention, not only on how companies are performing from an environmental or sustainability perspective, but also what they're doing for the greater good, right? And the EU taxonomy regulations are basically trying to provide the tools to guide investors in making those decisions. We haven't seen this mechanism working quite yet because it's just starting, but I think in a few years from now, we will see more and more investors asking.
Mm. And this is what I'm thinking as well, that when we speak about regulations today, it's a lot about reporting and looking back. What we're talking about here is the impact, and it's maybe closely connected to the idea of the taxonomy. So we'll see when the taxonomy becomes more than just, you know, checking box, but also proving the impact. Chiara, any comments from you?
I think you're absolutely right. And what is good with the taxonomy is that it really sort of forces this into a framework, into sort of what is acceptable, and sort of how do you build counterfactuals, how do you actually demonstrate an impact that is methodologically sound. And I think that once this is, you know, once we have a couple of years of experience with that, that's when I think the investor community will look at the taxonomy also as a tool, because I think right now it's still early days, and that's why we need actors like Carbon Trust, why we need the EGCD and actors like this, so that we can actually move further in this type of calculations. Can I make one comment about sort of what you said about sort of sometimes the customers are asking for something else? And I think it's totally right. It's up to us as sort of sustainability professionals to point out that there might be particular sustainability benefits, but sometimes it's also other aspects of sustainability that are interesting. So if you take one of the solutions that we've been looking at, which is with the city of Helsingborg, it started out as a blockchain project to increase transparency and to actually look at the due diligence across an entire supply chain. And then it turns out the benefit that are calculatable are actually much more in the realm of, okay, how much food waste can you reduce and the transportation reduced and so on and so forth. But it started out as another kind of project in the beginning. So it's up to us to make the linkages, essentially.
It's an interesting point of view that you're making, that, you know, sustainability, sometimes it's becoming too narrow, and that the impact can be a lot larger and more connected to business development and business impact. Yeah. I was wondering, early days, you say, for these type of methodologies and how to establish them. What do you see as moving forward from here? What are the challenges, and where are you going from here with the methodologies that you are working on at the time being?
For us, I think, or for all of us, one general challenge in the future will be first to strike a balance between having scientifically sound methodologies, but also not overburdening companies on implementing them and then reporting on them. This balance is difficult, so it's going to be a challenge going forward. Another challenge for us as a telecom operator and for all our peers is basically our core business is connectivity. We provide the infrastructure for the whole sector to be able to realize its all enablement impact, right? But we have challenges into quantifying the impact of the infrastructure, of the network. And that's not we at Telia. It's at the sector level because it is very difficult to break down how you use parts of the network for a specific solution. So we will see more of these discussions on having to find maybe alternative ways that are still sound on proving the net positive impact, but may not be leading to specific quantifications of, let's say, we save that much emissions or energy or something else.
And how about you at the TIA then?
For us, the whole issue is about sort of how do we scale, so that one of the most important thing to remember, even for us as professionals in sustainability, is that the transition is all about changing and challenging behaviors first and then changing behaviors. And when you, with the help of IT solutions and with the help of sort of the quantification of this methodologies, you're able to visualize an individual contribution, whether it's that of an employee at a customer's or a customer or a supplier, and you're able to sort of visualize what the results of a particular actions are, then you reinforce a certain behavior and then you can actually scale. So for us, it's about balancing sort of that methodologically sound aspect that we are looking at in this line of work with the sort of scaling the solutions in a way that helps many, many more customers adopt some of these solutions and then increase their impact, essentially. Mm.
Well, thank you so much for coming here and having this conversation. I think that this will actually be sort of a warm-up. There's more to come, I think, on this subject. We know that there is a report coming up on different methodologies in the case of where we all three have been involved during the spring. And I also know that there's a sort of dear discussion on what is the actual impact of the tech industry and how are we managing that and whose responsibility is it to make good use of the resources saved that we can enable. So thank you for coming. I look forward to seeing you soon again.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Great conversation. Thank you.